رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters viewing this program, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our topic of discussion via this medium is going to center on medicine or orthodox medicine through the Islamic perspective or the Muslim view of medicine generally. Now you see, when you say medicine, it is that system of cure. When you mention medicine, what comes to the mind is disease, ailment, and cure. In other words, healthcare is an important and integral part and parcel of a total package of Islamic worldview. In Islam, healthcare is of two kinds. There is preventive healthcare and curative healthcare. That is preventive, that is to prevent the disease from catching the body. That is what is called al-ilaj al-wiqai. There is wiqaya and there is ad-dawa. Al-ilaj al-dawa'i and al-ilaj al-wiqai. Try and prevent yourself from doing things that can cause you diseases. That is called preventive healthcare. Islam teaches this. When you read a lot of books like Qanun al-Tibb of Ibn Sina, of Ibn Nabawi, of Al-Allama Shamsuddin Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayh, and other voluminous books, of course. And then there is curative healthcare. That is, when the disease has attacked, then that disease should be cured. It is called curative. So there is preventive and curative. And I can tell you, preventive healthcare is more important. Because even the Hausa man says, Riga kafi, yafi, magani. That is, prevention is better than cure. The Arabs say, al-wiqaya khairu min al-ilaj. Same thing. Al-wiqaya, prevention, khairun is better min al-ilaj than the cure. Now, health in Islam is more than the absence of disease. When you say health, H-E-A-L-T-H, in Islam, the meaning of health is more than the absence of physical disease. In Islam, the concept of health is to be healthy in the total, in the totality and ramification of what health aims at. Okay, somebody can be healthy physically. He is well built, well fed, well dressed. When he comes to the people, they say, Your Excellency, or Honorable, or whatever, or Akramakallah, whatever. But he is not healthy spiritually. He humanizes, A'udhubillah. He drinks alcohol. He is a chain smoker. He is sick. He is sick in this case. From which perspective? Spiritually. Somebody can be healthy physically, physiologically, but he quarrels with everybody. He is quarrelsome. Wherever he goes, trouble is there. There is going to be smoke of trouble. This one is not healthy. From which perspective? Socially. Somebody can be okay physically, but his behavior does not conform to the normal limit of common sense. You say he is not healthy. From which perspective? Mentally. He is mentally retarded, mentally challenged. He has to be taken to the psychiatric attention. So you can see there are many instances of health. So when you say medicine, ha, that's very important. But we as Muslims, the biggest of medicine is Al-Quran. Because Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. We do send from time to time from the Quran what is a cure and a source for mercy, but for those who believe, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا, it increases but only loss for the transgressors and those who go beyond the limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that is medicine, really. But the area I want to emphasize is on the orthodox medicine. Look at issues like this. Today, a gynecologist can tell you, can determine the sex of the fetus, of the embryo. The fetus in the womb of the mother can be known. I mean, the sex can be determined, either male or female, courtesy of today's medicine. Because of medical science, because of the breakthrough, the sex of your baby can be determined inwardly before coming to the world. Now, this can affect the aqidah. How? Because somebody can tell you, well, if Allah is the only knower of al-ghayb, then you will tell you, okay, you, the scholars are telling Allah, only Allah knows al-ghayb, the unseen. But the doctor also can know the other, also tells you the sex of the baby. We say, yes, nobody knows the ghayb but Allah. Because Allah says, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Tell them nobody knows the al-ghayb but Allah. عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. Allah is the knower of al-ghayb, the unseen. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِ السُّوءُ. There are many instances, Quranically and Sunnatically, telling you the ghayb is the no-go area for anybody. It is the reserve area of Allah. But now the gynecologist can tell you the sex of the babe yet to be born. Does that mean he knows the ghaib? We say no, capital no. Allah says in the ending part of chapter 31, Surah Al-Luqman, he says, listen carefully, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاءَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْفِ ويعلم ما في الأرحام. هنا الشاهد, ما في الأرحام. وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. Listen, إن الله عنده علم الساعة. It is to Allah that the knowledge of the hour belongs exclusively. That is number one. وينزل الغيث. It is Allah that brings down al-ghayth. What is al-ghayth? Beneficial rain. There is difference between ordinary rain and al-ghayth in Arabic. There is al-ma, there is al-ghayth. Al-ghayth, any water that is beneficial. But any water that destroys, that causes flood, houses crumbling, people, then is not ghayth. So look at the beauty of Quran. It says, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Allah brings down al-ghayth, water that is beneficial. We are the beneficiaries. It is beneficial. So Allah reveals al-ghayth. Then Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Ah, huna shahid. This is the mahal shahid. Allah knows مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. What is in the womb. Now, if any gynecologist, any medical guru, any medical practitioner, can brag, becomes braggadocious, telling you he can determine the sex of the baby, we ask him, please, Mr. Doctor, can you tell me this baby you have known its sex, how long is it going to live before he dies? I know, you know it's going to be male or female, but tell me how long is he going to before he dies? 60, 50, 40, 70, 100, tell me. Liz, can you tell me the wife he is going to marry later? Or the husband she is going to marry? Can you tell me? Can your medical apparatus, your gadget, can they determine? Can you as well tell me? Can you as well tell me, please, doctor, this baby that you have determined, how many white hair is going to appear on his beard, on his own head? Can you? Please, can you tell me how many dishes of food is going to eat before he dies? Which school is going to attend? What educational qualification is going to attain? Certificate, NCE, diploma, degree, master's, PhD, whatever. Can you tell me? You will agree with me, no medical doctor can ever venture into this area. So the Quran says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا, not man. Allah knows what, not who. So the doctor only tells you maybe who. And even on that, it is not always what you forecast becomes the truth. Even on that, he can say, well, he is likely going to be, look, what do they say? They say EDD. What is EDD? Expected day of delivery. Expected, not CDD, convinced day of delivery. He's not convinced. He is also grappling. He is being speculative and not definitive. So in that case, Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. The point is, medical practice today is very important, but there is need for our doctors, especially the Muslims, to try and know the teachings, the etiquette of Islam. Like, I remember a lecture I delivered maybe some 15 years back in Murtala Hospital, when some brothers organized a talk. They are doctors under one umbrella, I think Iman or something like that, Islamic Medical Association. They asked me to talk about the care of the dead and the dying, the Islamic way. Very beautiful topic of discussion. But Malan, a lot of people will be brought to us as patients. Some will be dying and will be watching them. We don't know what to say. And that is the big challenge. And that is very important. As a medical practitioner, when somebody is brought to you as a patient and he is dying, Islam says you should be saying kalimat shahada to him. Say la ilaha illallah. Because all your efforts, medically speaking, have not proved worthless, no longer. Because the day for him to leave the world has arrived. So you should be telling him kalimat shahada. Say la ilaha illallah. If finally he dies, try and close the eye. Alright, try and control the body. In the hospital there should be even some properties for the officers, like shroud. You know shroud? Al-kafan. There should be the bier. That is an-nash. There should be people ready to treat the body. So this is number one. The issue of determining the sex of the baby according to the medical practitioner. That is number one. Number two, the Islamic view concerning dissecting the body. What is dissecting the body? That is, after somebody dies, the body, the corpse is dissected. It's operated. It's opened in order to determine the causative agent of the death. That is post-mortem. Post-mortem. They call it post-mortem or other name. Now in Islam, if somebody dies, we don't know what killed him, for example. No problem, you can go and do your autopsy. They call it autopsy or post-mortem to determine the disease that killed him. But the dead body should be honored. His private part should not be looked at. A woman cannot touch the body the Islamic way. It should be done diligently, carefully, scrupulously. Otherwise, you end up earning Allah's wrath and condemnation. Iyadhan billahi iyadha. That is why the element of Islamic teaching should be there in the medical practice. Don't say, according to the medical convention, which convention? The convention comes from the kafirun. You have to Islamize it. You have to internalize it. You have to domesticate it. Try as much as possible to make it look Islamic according to understanding. Another thing very important to say. Let me say something quickly. Today, in today's medical tradition, we associate cross belonging to the Christians with healthcare. I wonder why. Please, why? For the sake of Allah, why? You see ambulances belonging to the hospitals with cross boldly drawn, or signboards or billboards carrying cross or hospital. Not only that, even the hospitals belonging to the state governments, unfortunately, you see crosses written. When you talk, they say, no, that's the convention. Which convention? You go to Saudi Arabia, you can never find any single hospital, public or private, carrying cross. Abandon, because they know the message. We too should behave like this. You can't tell me it is the policy of government. Which government? We live in a federal system. What is federalism? Federalism, any political scientist will tell you, it preaches the preservation of unity in diversity. What is that? You have the executive list, concurrent list, and residual list. So at the periphery, at the state levels, the state reserves the right of implementing what goes at pari passu with their cultural and civilizational values. So you cannot tell me it is something recognized. So it's not correct. You have your private clinic and you have cross. You are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important. That is why in many places you don't see these things. Instead, they draw what they call crescent. Okay? Instead of drawing cross. That is un-Islamic. Now, again, on the issue of, after the first instance I have given you, determining the sex, woman going for antenatal care, what does Islam say concerning that? Oh, that is important. What is anti, not anti, mark you, that is A-N-T-I, anti, against, not that one. This is A-N-T-E, anti. Anti means pre. That is prenatal or antenatal care. That is postnatal. Antenatal care is the pregnant woman, the expectant mother, goes to the hospital to be attended to for her health. That is excellent. That's very good. But Islamically speaking, it should be in such a way that the teachings of the deen are preserved. Not a man to seclude himself with her. That is un-Islamic. And there should not be any advices being given to the women, please, you should minimize the level of your childbearing. Stop it. Because in some places, there are some people claiming to be medical health workers or health workers preaching to the women against giving birth. That is an act of intimidation. It's unacceptable. That is number two. Number three, on the issue of somebody taking his wife being sick and a doctor has to attend to her. But what happens is that the man just goes back and waits. They tell him the doctor is going to see her, but he cannot go in. That is all Islamic. Who can tell me in any medical tradition that says a husband cannot go into the office of the doctor where he sees his wife? What licenses does the doctor have? in seeing somebody who was in private and the husband doesn't have that very license. In Islam, this is the man that is legally married to this woman. If an ajnabi, not a husband, has justification to see her in a camera, what about her husband that is legally married to her? I mean, we should try through knowledge and through explanation and through sound argument and explain, hey, you want, please, this is my wife, she is sick, let's go. But for the husband, please go, you want to see her, that is haram. Haram. If you tell me, but he's a doctor, yes, does he possess the life? And are you telling me by merely seeing her, she's going to be healthy? That is going to affect your aqidah, your iman, your basis, your dogma, your principle. Why can't the husband enter into the office of the doctor? He can even help in explaining other things he knows concerning the wife during diagnosis. Isn't it? I think before a medical doctor prescribes his medicine, what comes first? Diagnosis. There are diagnostical questions, inquiries before establishing the case. So maybe the husband has an advantage in explaining more further. So this is also very important to be looked into. Another important issue and question bordering on today's medical practice is the importance of Muslim youth, especially going and study the courses. All field of medical science should be handled, should be learned, should be mastered, should be known by Muslims. Because our predecessors, we had a lot of medical practitioners. The first surgery was conducted by Muslims in Andalusia, in the Muslim Spain. Ibn Sina was a medical guru, but today his name is called what? Avicenna. Ibn Bajja is called Avipensa. Al-Bajuri. These were big names in medical science of the Muslim yesteryears. But unfortunately, we seem to have thrown our values into the garbage, and we feel that what the European brings to us is better. It's not better, but we can take it. What is good to take it. What goes against our belief, iman, we should be careful. Because finally, the giver of life and health is Allah, not any medical practitioner or any medical scientist or whatever. Finally, I may sound strange, but I want to tell you, the most important medical doctors are the ulama. It's a guy. It's the truth. They are, because any alim, any scholar that knows what he's doing, what his name, handles your spiritual sphere. And if spiritually you are okay, you are physically okay as well. Tell me, if it is said committing zina is haram, that alim will preach to you against the evil of zina, the negative consequences. By the time you listen to these beautiful preachings, you preserve yourself against committing zina, and then you are far away from being attacked by HIV. Isn't it? What is HIV? For what is AIDS? Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. No, it is Allah's inevitable destruction of the sinners. That is AIDS. So by the time you listen to the teacher, he preserves you. So spiritually, you have been immunized. So you hardly get attacked by this monster called AIDS. You have the name. A is Allah's, I inevitable, D destruction, S of the sinners, even though you say acquired immune syndrome. That can be that. So, brothers and sisters, this is what maybe we have to say concerning the importance of medicine. And there are a lot of books written by the scholars, and like Ibn al-Qayyim, like I've told you, there are many things that Islam says concerning overeating and healthcare, unnecessary sleeping and healthcare, delaying sleep and healthcare, all right, straining your eyes and healthcare. There are many things to be said as far as medicine is concerned from Islamic and Orthodox viewpoints. But because of time factor, I think we have to call it a day. We have to draw curtain on the program. This very episode, we meet inshallah during the subsequent episode via this medium in TA Kano. On behalf of the cameraman, Brother Adam, the producer of the program, I, the presenter from this blessed mosque with the Sahaba here in Kundi Lazan Esad in Kano, I say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.